Nerdology is now presented by Sardine, and I couldn't be more excited. You'll get to meet their founder, Supes, and some of the team later this quarter, and you'll hear a bit more about why they've caught the attention of some of the smartest fraud leaders I know throughout crypto, fintech, financial services, and e-commerce. Thanks again to Sardine for supporting this episode of Fraudology. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to Fraudology Podcast, where we dive into the science and study of online fraud from the perspective of an e-commerce fraud fighter. I'm Carice Hendrick. Earlier this month, the Better Business Bureau in US and Canada released a report, and it was their Better Business Bureau Scam Tracker Risk Report. And there's a lot of really interesting information about scams and which ones are the most prevalent, and a lot of other details that I just thought would be fascinating to go through today. I've heard from a few of you that you have enjoyed previous solo episodes where it was a little shorter. Maybe I just went into a deep dive of one story versus three. So I'm going to try to do that again today. But this just has information that about scams that we've been talking about and really kind of solidifies a lot of the things that some of my guests recently and a couple of guests that are coming up soon have been talking about. Before going into that, I thought that I would share my own definition of a scam versus fraud. So recently I was interviewed by an organization, and I'll just leave it at that. When I can share more, I will. That asked several questions about scams and fraud. And one of the questions they asked me was, what's the difference between these two words, or is there a difference? They weren't sure if they're just used interchangeably or if there's a difference between those two words. And I think they're asking a few people those questions. And I thought it was a good question to ask because I have heard it interchangeably, but I feel like lately we've seen scams used in one way and fraud used in another way. And so I thought that I would at least share kind of how I see them being different. And this leads right into the scam report too. So a scam is targeting, you know, consumers or some businesses with you, right? They're targeting you. They are manipulating you. They're having you actually do the action, right? So they're getting you to do something so that you're participating in it, but you're essentially giving away your money, right? Whether that's an investment scam or a romance scam or, you know, crypto scams, all different types of scams that there are, they're doing it with you in a way. They're targeting you, but you're involved in some way and you're being manipulated. Whereas to me, fraud is without, right? It's without the victim's involvement. Instead, they're using their data and they're using businesses and banks to monetize that data. But fraud is happening without you being involved, right? You're not the one being manipulated. It's your data being used and they're manipulating a business or a bank to steal from them, but it's your money. And similarly, you know, with scams that are focused on businesses, you know, there might be, you know, a fake vendor or invoice scams, that type of thing, versus fraud that's targeting businesses like banking fraud and e-commerce fraud, which a lot of you all work in. So that's, you know, just kind of the way I break it out. I'd be curious to know if you have a different definition of those two words or if you use them interchangeably. I don't, but, you know, I always enjoy when this is a two-way conversation. So certainly feel free to let me know if you disagree or you have anything to add on that. So before diving into this scam tracker risk report, I thought it was interesting to just give a little bit of demographics from it. I wasn't really familiar with this, but I read several articles that were attributing to that. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. And I feel like it got more pickup and press this year than it has in the past. And I think it's partially because this is a fairly new report. I think it's only been happening for the last few years. And it's sponsored by some big names. And I think it's really important to call those companies out because they are, you know, some of the companies are used, their names are used for scams, especially impersonation scams, but it shows that they're committed to at least understanding and getting data around this, which we don't have. It can be really tricky. So it's sponsored by Amazon, Capital One, PayPal, Zelle, and FINRA. And FINRA is an investor education foundation. So good on them. The one thing I wanted to say is, this is only one organization. There are other organizations that scams and fraud is reported to, like the IC3.gov and others. And so these numbers aren't going to be, they're not going to be representative of all scams, because we also know that only, I think the latest report is 1 in 10 scam victims even report it to anyone, let alone report it to this entity. So for example, last year they had 1.75 million visitors to the BBB scam tracker website. That's not that many in the grand scheme of life, right? We are sure that there were a lot more people scammed, but they have enough data to be able to show trends. And there are some really interesting trends for the last year, and things have changed year over year. And I'm certainly seeing this aligned with conversations I'm having with people who listen to the podcast and in my own life. And I'd be interested to hear if you guys, you know, are seeing something similar. So 37.8% of the visitors that visited the scam tracker, they were doing it to determine whether they were experiencing a scam or not. So that's a really good service. And 36% of them said that the scam tracker helped them avoid losing money, which is also good. So that's a really good service that these companies are sponsoring. In 2023 alone, Scam Tracker published more than 67,000 scams, but they're within 27 different categories for consumer scams and 5 for businesses. And then 7% of the scams were in the other category. But so they had a lot of individual scams, obviously 67,000 different types of scams. But then within those, they went into 27 different categories. And I'll go into that in a minute. In 2023, the susceptibility, so that's the percentage of people who reported losing money to a scam, increased for the first time since 2020. It's up 27.8% from the year before. So more people were losing money, more people were susceptible to scams than ever before. But the reported median dollars that were lost dropped 41.5% from $171 to $100 in 2023. So there, more people are susceptible to scams, but as a whole, less money is being stolen per person. Now, there are some scams like wire fraud and others where the median of loss was $3,000. So it really, the overall median across all 27 doesn't sound like that much, but there were some that were very low and there were some that were very high. So, you know, it would be nice if the only amount of money that each person that was a victim of a scam, you know, lost was $100. That's not necessarily the case, but it evens out to that. So investment and cryptocurrency scams were the riskiest. In 2023, a shift occurred in the list of top 10 riskiest scams. Investment scams have frequently ranked in the top 10 riskiest scams since they began publishing the risk report. In 2019, they added a category for cryptocurrency scams, which have appeared consistently in the top 3 riskiest scams ever since. This year, they combined investment and cryptocurrency scams into one category because most crypto scams are involving investment opportunities, AKA pig butchering. And if you haven't listened to the episode with Erin West a few weeks ago, I highly recommend it. She is the queen of pig butchering education. I've also had Asaf Kipnis from, who was previously with Facebook, on the podcast about a year ago, talking about pig butchering as well. But that really is the marriage of cryptocurrency and investment, and shows why the BBB decided to combine them, because it is so big. And for the first time ever, those two, and part of it's because they're combined, but those two are the riskiest and most frequent scams in the US and Canada. So the result was investment in cryptocurrency scams rising to the top of the list of riskiest scams, with a high percentage of people reporting a monetary loss. So 80% of the people who said that they were scammed reported a monetary loss, and a high median dollar loss. So the median dollar loss of investment in cryptocurrency scams was $3,800 USD. Employment scams remain number 2 riskiest scam. I know I've talked about them before, with a median dollar loss of $1,995. Reports of employment scams rose 54.2% from 2022 to 2023. And unfortunately, I think that has a lot to do with, you know, the job market being the way it is and the economy. And I know of a lot of people in tech that have lost their jobs over the last few years. And while, you know, there are other jobs available, they're looking for jobs in their field. And those are harder to find. I mean, even in fraud, it's been harder for people to find roles within tech recently. So I also thought this was interesting. Although online purchase scams had the highest number of reports to the BBB scam tracker again this year, and the second highest susceptibility, this scam type dropped number 3 on our list after 3 years as the number one riskiest scam type. So when they're talking about the top 3, those are the top 3, but I'll go through the top 10. I'm reading the report a little bit out of order, and I'm not going to go into all the numbers. I will absolutely provide a link to this report in the show notes so you can dive into this data if it's important to you, or if you, you know, this may be something that can be helpful for you in your job and communicating scams and fraud and risk, you know, out to your company. But within the scams, so number 1 was investment in cryptocurrency, number 2 was employment, number 3 was online purchases, which I believe are, you know, purchasing something that isn't delivered. I wish that they gave a little bit more definition on some of these scams. They only really broke out romance scams and credit repair and debt relief scams within this report that I could find. But I would be curious to know what they, you know, call online purchase scams. But it was consistently number 1 for the last 3 years until now. So that just shows you how prevalent pig butchering is. Then it goes to home improvement scams, romance scams, advanced fee loans, phishing and social engineering, credit repair and debt relief. That's something that Frank McKenna has talked a lot about lately. Tech support scams. And then number 10 is travel, vacation, and timeshare scams. And then they break it out. They break out each one of those by exposure, susceptibility, so the susceptibility of losing money, and then the median dollars lost. By far, the investment in cryptocurrency median dollars are the highest at $3,800. Although romance scams are quickly right underneath with $3,600 as the average loss. I remember when Erin came, she did say that, you know, romance scams and pig butchering are often mixed. So I'm sure that the romance scam tallies also include pig butchering in there too. So you could almost combine those three to talk about pig butchering. So another point that I thought was important to talk about, and just I found this fascinating, and I think you guys will too, is how scammers engage their targets, how they reached out to them. And then they also talked about payment type and how, you know, people are making payments. And credit cards remained the top payment method for scams with a monetary loss, followed by bank account debit and online payment system. Susceptibility for scams perpetrated by social media rose 23.8% from the previous year. I think it's worth noting that there's been at least one entity, I think out of the UK, and I want to say it's a bank, but I can't remember, but they attributed 80% of scams to one particular social media company that owns several platforms within social media. So that might be worth noting. That's another topic for another day, but definitely as long as they can, you know, use those platforms for their own nefarious purposes, they will. So scams that were perpetrated online continued to grow, making up 68.4% of all reports. More concerning, online scams were more likely to result in a reported monetary loss than scams perpetrated in person or via the phone. So there's a lot more online scams out there. I'm sure you're not surprised, but it's good to see this in a report. And that's why these reports are important, right? Data is what's going to move where funds are allocated within governments. It's what's going to move where funds are allocated within companies that are being targeted and used within the scam lifecycle. For the second year in a row, people ages 18 to 24 reported the highest median dollar loss of all age groups. And then the percentage of people who reported engaging with a scammer via social media rose 63% from 2022 to 2023. So social media and online obviously are going to overlap. So I think it's really important to highlight that. So, you know, most scams are targeting, you know, 18 to 24 year olds. Well, what about youth, right? And actually, I think we can safely say that kids under 18 are also being targeted. But the BBB scam tracker does not collect information from people under the age of 18. However, they know that young people are being targeted. Of the 20% of survey respondents who reported having children between the ages of 7 and 18, 16% said that their children were targeted by scams. This was an increase of 11% who said their children were targeted in 2022. So it's much higher. And they're saying that they're being targeted via social media, gaming platforms, text messages, email, phone calls, and phone apps in that order. But by far, you know, social media is 55%, gaming is 38%. And the totals don't add up to 100 because they were asked to mark all that apply. But I know that, you know, my child was targeted for a scam more than once in the last couple of years as she, you know, continues to live more of her life online. So it's really important as parents. That's something that we need to educate our kids about. And I'm actually having a guest come up on the podcast in the next couple of weeks who is going to talk about the number one scam that is targeting young people. And it's a touchy subject, but it's resulting in a lot of suicides. And I think it's really important for people within the fraud industry to know where their company lies in that scam's life cycle and how you can identify it if your platform's being used to target youth or used in the financial aspect of it. But also as parents, right? I just think it's important to get the word out because it's the number one scam right now impacting children, and it's bad. Join me on March 20th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for an interactive demo of the SPEC platform. It's a no-pressure zone where you can see our sponsor, ask questions anonymously, and if you're interested, set up a meeting to learn even more about them on your own. SPEC's customers have been raving about the visibility their platform provides to see everything your customers and fraudsters do on your website from the moment they open a session. Their customers also enjoy watching the reseller bots and AI bots that usually go undetected by cybersecurity bot detection get caught in a honey trap. And they appreciate the ability to connect internal and external APIs to create workflows and connect to other fraud providers, all without any engineering resources, because SPEC connects to your network rather than the other way around. Honestly, there's even more that you can do on the SPEC platform, but it's so much better to see for yourself. That's why I'm hosting an opportunity for fraud practitioners to anonymously attend a demonstration of their platform. That's on March 20th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you click the link in the episode description to register today. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of misinformation. I've been guilty of thinking it too, that the majority of scam victims are the elderly, but actually that's not true. I mean, based on this report and other reports I've seen, it is younger people. And you could say that's because, well, if most scams are happening online, that's where the younger people are hanging out. So they're more susceptible to it. But these are all financial scams. And, you know, especially younger kids, they don't have a lot of money. And so it can really be devastating and detrimental for them to, you know, be the victim of a scam. This report goes on to talk a lot about the mental health aspects of scam victims, which I found quite interesting, as well as some of the facts around what some of the characteristics that may make victims more susceptible to scams. I'm not going to go into that in detail. There's just a lot of numbers that could be going back and forth and all that. But if that's something that's interesting to you, or if you're doing research on that, this is a really good report for that. They really went in depth on the feelings that are elicited off of this and, you know, the frustration and all of that. And so I think that it's really, you know, it's really good that this is being measured. Unfortunately, things have to get worse before they get better. And the only way that, you know, time and energy and funds will be allocated to try to fix these things is by measuring them. They also talked about how scam victims are, you know, more likely to not ever fall for that same scam again, but often they're likely to fall for an average of 3 scams per victim. And I think that that's trusting people in a lot of ways. It's people who are trusting. They also went on to talk about ways that people prefer to get educated on scam education, which I thought was an interesting statistic, and I'll let you read all of that. And then they also asked, at which point in your, you know, interaction with a scammer did you think you were being scammed? So just really interesting getting into the psyche of scam victims. And then it has, you know, the 10 general tips for avoiding a scam, like avoid making quick purchases while browsing social media, reports of scams being perpetrated via social media, you know, and also purchasing scams, you know, increased 63% from 2022 to 2023. So take time to research the website that is offering that amazing deal to make sure it isn't fake. I would go so far as to say, do not click the link on the ad in social media, and instead Google that, or, you know, put the name of that company or product in a search engine and go out that way. That's very big on my part. That's a tip that I give quite often. And this information and statistics just reiterates how important that is. Be very cautious engaging with someone that you've met online. Take precautions when making online purchases. Don't shop based on price alone. Scammers offer hard-to-find products at great prices. Don't buy online unless the transaction is secure. Make sure the website has HTTPS in the URL and a small lock icon on the address bar. However, even secure websites can be fraudulent. I was just going to say that. Not all secure websites aren't fraudulent, but do more research on the products and the businesses that you make purchases on before you make the purchase. Don't click on links or open attachments in unsolicited emails or text messages. Don't believe everything you read. No general red flags of scams, like the offer sounds too good to be true. The person insists you must act immediately or the deal ends soon. Somebody asks you to deposit money into a Bitcoin ATM or sends a check and asks you to deposit it and then transfer the funds. I actually just saw an article that Frank McKenna published in his or shared in his newsletter this week that talked about how there was a business that was the victim of check fraud, and it was one check written for $2,500, but the fraudsters gave that out to 20 different people, and 20 different people were able to cash the same check, and so that business lost $55,000. And I'm not sure how that works with the same check number or anything like that, but I just thought that was bizarre and awful, and shows that there's a lot of work to be done as far as identifying check fraud. Whenever possible, work with businesses that have proper identification, licensing, and insurance. Research the company first at thebetterbusinessbureau.org, of course, or bbb.org. Never disclose personally identifiable information to an unsolicited contact. Take your time. Don't be pressured to act immediately. I feel like that was also another one. But those are all things that I would say 90% of you listening or 98% of you listening already know. But kudos to them for putting this out there. I hope more everyday people are reading things like this. I can't guarantee it, but they have things on their website like a scam survival toolkit, a scam prevention guide. They've got, all kinds of things like that on their website. So certainly if you have family members who ask you, what they can do to not be scammed or things like that, you can send them to this website because it has a lot of good information. Oh, and I just found a glossary. So I'm going backwards a little bit, but to explain some of these terms, because I had mentioned that I didn't know exactly what they were. Let me look here for one of them. Home improvement scam is typically door-to-door solicitors offering a quick, low-cost repair and then either take payment without returning, do shoddy work, or find issues that dramatically raise the price. These types of schemes often occur after a major storm or natural disaster. I do remember seeing that home improvement scams are number one scam in Canada. So if you're in Canada, that's certainly a big part of it. Online purchases. So what they classify as online purchases are these scams typically involve the purchase of products and or services where the transaction occurs via a website or other online means like social media. Scammers use technology to offer attractive deals, but once the payment is made, no product or service is delivered. In some cases, fraudsters send low quality or counterfeit products. So in some cases, we know that people claim those things, that they didn't get items when they did. But I don't think that people who are engaging in refund fraud and doing that intentionally are probably not filling out a scam tracker form on BBB. So we can say that those are probably people who, genuinely were victims of online purchase scams. Can I see any other glossary of terms that might be of interest to you that you may not know or that, I wasn't sure exactly what they were doing? Tax collection scams, imposters pose as Internal Revenue Service representatives in the U.S. or the Canada Revenue Agency in Canada to coerce the target into either paying back taxes or sharing personal information. And then the travel and vacation timeshare, the number 10 scam this year. Con artists post listings for properties that are not for rent, do not exist, or are significantly different from what's pictured. In another variation, scammers claim to specialize in timeshare resales and promise they have buyers ready to purchase. That is exactly what I was talking about a few weeks ago with the Mexican drug cartels and how they were engaging in timeshare scams. So that's on the rise so much that hit number 10 this year. So interesting report. At least I certainly nerded out on it and hope that you guys found that fascinating. I am going to be at MRC next week. So I'm going to have a great guest next week, but we'll probably just do one episode. And then the following week, I'm going to have a really great guest too. And I will start sharing some of the takeaways of what we learned at MRC. And then we'll get back on track. So thanks you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And I'm always up for good feedback. feedback, constructive feedback, topics that you want to hear about. I always want this to be a two-way conversation. It makes my day to get notes from so many of you that you appreciate the podcast and that you liked a specific episode. And that definitely helps me keep going on the days that I'm like, oh, what am I going to talk about today? So keep that up. I really appreciate it. All right. Well, I will look forward to speaking with you more next week. Thank you again to Sardine for sponsoring this episode of Fraudology and for supporting information sharing and collaboration across the FraudFighter ecosystem. You can learn more about the team and their mission at Sardine via the link in today's episode description.